Brilliant. Okay, we're all ready, Simcha?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's amazing. It's amazing what goes on over here. I'm surprised people even come, Michlal. You know, there's 4 different ways to listen to it digitally. Why should anybody come? You know, they tell a story. There was a fellow professor who used to give lectures in university. And slowly but surely, there are more and more people that weren't coming. And they used to just put down a dictaphone, he used to put down a recorder, just to listen to what the professor had to say. So after a while, the professor came in, he used to come with a dictaphone, he used to put the dictaphone down, push play. The dictaphone spoke to the other dictaphones, and that was it. He didn't even have to give the class either. But... yeah, okay, but you can say these two are... yeah, okay. Moving on. Rabbi Nachum David called me last night and said that there was a bit of a cancellation. So I have over here a shiur. I hope that is, it's got enough chomer in it to last me to the end. If not, you'll have to apologize for the fact that it doesn't. We're getting somewhere. Now it's making noise. You just... Are we? All right. Simcha will get there eventually. Okay. You have to... Excuse me if it doesn't have enough... to make it all the way through to the end, but this is a last minute thing. Okay, what I'd like to discuss today are common kashrus shailas that come up in the kitchen. Many of us, all of us, have had shailas that come up in the kitchen, and it's never exactly clear, you know, what you should do, what you shouldn't do. You call a rav, even then you're not always clear. So I want to discuss some of the nekudos, some of the concepts. Before we discuss even the concepts, there's one point that I would make, and that is, there's a famous story they tell, I think they tell about the Noda Behuda, but they can tell about any of the Rabbonim, any of the great Poskim of the previous generation. And they say the following, there's once something that happened in their kitchen, and this Poskim was asked, he said, you know what's wrong over here? And he said, he found out, and he says, no problem, kosher. Which his wife says, no, it's treif. To which the Poskim said, no, it's kosher. And his wife says, no, it's treif. To which the Paisik turned around to his wife and says, listen, Shulchan Aruch, Rama, Shach, Taz, they all say it's kosher. And the lady says, you and your Shulchan Aruch would have trafed up my kitchen a long time ago. Which is true. The way women are shayma on their kashrus, and the way we interact with kashrus, is a lot more chomer in a way from what the general halacha is. So it's always kenai to know, of course, lechatchila, any of these shailas shouldn't happen. But being that we're all human beings, they do happen. And since they do happen, let's discuss some of the questions and let's see what the bidyeved shabai is, as opposed to what lechatchila shabai is. Lechatchila is that this shouldn't happen. Okay? So, question number one. Have over here, we have 6 questions we're going to go through. Hopefully, if we have time, maybe more, but I have over here 6 questions I've written out. Let's go through the question. Number one, you're making something fleishik. Okay, you're cooking a fleishik, a dish, whatever it might be, whether it's chicken, whether it's meat, roast, whatever you're making, a chicken soup, and by mistake you put in a milchig spoon. Now what? Okay, there's a whole simon about this in Shulchan Aruch, Toichav Kav Chalev, Simon Sadik Dalet, in Yeridea. What happens? You stuck a milchig spoon into something fleishik. Okay? So, before we start getting into this, there's 2 things that we need to ascertain. Or there's 2 things that we need to say. Anytime you will have a shaila, such as this shaila, there will really be 3 shailas that you need to figure out. Number one, what is the status of the spoon? Number two, what is the status of the food? And number 3, what is the status of the pot in which the fleishik or milchik, whatever it is being cooked? Okay? And sometimes there'll be tolui zeh bezeh, many times not necessarily. Okay? That's the first question we need to know. The second question that you always need to ask whenever faced with a shaila of kashrus, is you want to know. People always say, oh, I have a fleishik pot. What makes the pot fleishik? Well, I always use it to make food for fleishiks. That in halacha, strictly speaking, does not make the pot fleshik. The fact that you always use it. You know, this is the pot of chves. If you have a pot, you make pasta and rice and vegetables. You do all sorts of things. If you've never put meat into that pot, the pot is not fleshik. It is parif. Okay? Notwithstanding maybe any splashes or anything else that might happen in the proximity, but if we're talking about in a clear environment, we should assume that this pot is not fleshik. Another question we need to figure out is ben yoimai or not. Okay? Because in order for something to give tam, in order for something to be able to give taste, that is then going to affect something else and create a problem, the taste that is swallowed up by this container needs to be ben yoimai, needs to be less than 24 hours old. After 24 hours, what will happen to that taste is it becomes pogum. Pogum means it is already not at its full strength. It's not, maybe it might not be correct to say that it's mamish nois and tam lifgam. Could we turn around and say that it is disgusting, revolting? Maybe not. But it doesn't give the full brunt of its taste anymore, and therefore, because it doesn't give that amount of taste anymore, it's already not considered lehalacha to be whether it is fleshik or whether it is milchik, whatever it might be. Okay? So, just to give you an example, if you cooked something fleshik in a pot, and there's meat inside it at the moment, then everybody would agree the pot is fleshik and what's going on inside is fleshik. If you cooked something in a meaty pot, cleaned it out, and now you're cooking something else in that pot, if it's within 24 hours, that pot is still considered fleshik. If it's after 24 hours from when you finish cooking that fleshik item in your pot, the pot is not fleshik anymore, lahalocha. Can I use it for milchiks? No, definitely not. However, the question is now not in lechatchilas, as we started off. The question is not, can I use it now for milchiks? Of course, the pot will still remain a fleshik pot. The question becomes, what will happen if I did? Because we're only dealing in bidyevitz now, we're not dealing in lechatchilas. Okay? Last question that we're going to look into as well before we start tackling this question is, even if we have used our utensil for real milchiks or real fleshiks, the level of belias, the level of being able to swallow, internalize this food, depends on the level of heat that there is in the item that you're using to cook. So if it's a pot that's on the fire, that's a klirish inshallah eish, everybody will agree that it will take in bleis. However, a klisheni, if it's something that's already off the fire, it's been moved to something else, that might not take the bleis out anymore. La locha, we probably won't, we will say that's not an issue. If you have a dover gush, if you have something that comes in big clumps that retains its heat a lot more, that might be different. That maybe would give over, even though it's out of a klirishin, because a dover gush, l'chumra, we consider it as if it's still inside a klirishin. So all that needs to be taken into account. When the shaila is asked, so then people call up and says, oh, I put a milky spoon in a fleshik pot. It's a no. Slow down. Any Rav who wants to answer such a shaila is going to have to take a step back and is going to have to say, 1 second, there are a few basic shailas that I need to know, that I need to ask you before I can give you a psak, because there is no one size fits all psak for the halacha that we just mentioned. So let's now make our way back into the shaila that we started this with. You're making something fleshik. Yeah. That's a chatchila power pot. You've never put fleshiks in that pot.
So the cleaning of that pan, you did it for 5 years, and the finish wash and all that, doesn't affect the pan.
Dishwashers, we're going to have to discuss later. I've not gotten to that point yet.
You just made a blanket statement that she considers it fleshy, and she's always washed it with fleshy.
I've never said wash it with fleshy. She's always cooked food within it for...
Yeah, she started off the question, man. She considered it fleshy, and she
yes.
Used it with
fleshy. Yes.
She never used it with meat,
actually. Yes. Okay, so later on we will discuss about cleaning with other items. When we get... I'm saying we're going to get to that cheshbon later. That cheshbon is a cheshbon to be considered, but not always does it make things mamash fleshy. She considers it fleshy because in her mind, she's always cooking things for fleshiks in this pot. Pardon? But that's what I'm saying. When it comes to washing up, it's not so straightforward to say that it becomes fleshy just because you wash it up with fleshy, which is something I'll discuss. That's why I'm saying, let me get to that, and then we'll see if because you've washed it up with fleshiks, just because you've washed it up with fleshiks will not necessarily make it fleshiks. In halacha. Not at this point, at a later point, we will include the nikud and the shayla. Okay. Pardon? Yeah, we're not talking about making a kosher now. We're talking about now she made a mistake. Can you do hagala? Can you do libun? Can you fix it? Of course you can fix it, you know, as long as it made...
When you do a mistake, you have to correct it, though.
Well, it depends. Not necessarily. That's what we're discussing. Now, if... Let's just mention the point that was mentioned over here. That is an important point. If you've made a mistake and it's become treif, yes, you will need to kasher it. But not every shayla that we're going to mention is going to require kashering of anything. Okay? Just because you've made a mistake does not mean you need to kasher something. Okay? So, let's now make our way back to the first shayla that we started with. The shayla that we started with is straightforward. He says you have fleshiks in a pot, and you've put a milchige spoon into it. So let's start with the following. The food is definitely fleshiks, right? It doesn't make a difference. It'll be fleshiks either way, right? The pot is definitely fleshiks. And to add to that, the pot is definitely going to be benyoyme because I'm currently cooking fleshiks in it. How much more benyoyme could it get? The only question you have to deal with now is the spoon, okay? So number one, what do you need to know about your spoon is, pardon? How did the spoon become milchik? We said the spoon was milchik, but how did it become milchik? Pardon?
Same thing.
Well, okay, we'll have to see. Is it ben yoyme? But even if the spoon is ben yoyme, did you just use it to have something milchik in a pot? Did you use it to stir a milchik pot? So let's say, for example, you're making hot chocolate, so you've taken milk and you're boiling up milk in a pot. And you've taken that spoon and you're using it to stir, because if you don't stir it, it gets that film on the top. And you want to keep it moving so it shouldn't get that film and it shouldn't burn in. So you've taken a spoon like that and you're stirring the milk in a klirish and shalo esh. That spoon, definitely milchik. Okay? How much of it? We'll assume all of it for now. It depends how far in you went, whether it's just the spoon, whether it's the handle, or there's a lot of things, a lot of factors over here. Let's assume at least, definitely, the entire rounded area of the spoon we'll assume has bleus of milchiks inside, and it depends how much further you stuck it in into the handle as to how much of that is going to become milchiks. Okay? If you have such a spoon that has been inside a milchig pot ben yoyma, that's cooking milchiks, on the fire, and you've taken that spoon now and put it into fleshiks, what have you now got? You have a problem of milchiks and fleshiks coming together. That still doesn't mean that everything will have to go out. Okay? What do we now need to look for? Shishim. Right? Pardon, what were you saying? I'm saying right now it's a pot that's cooking. So right now, let's go. You're right. The temperature of the food that's cooking will come back. But at the moment, we're talking about a pot that's cooking on the fire. So a pot that's cooking on the fire, you needed to stir it. You took a milchige spoon, which is a ben yoymai, proper milchige spoon. You stuck it in and you stirred it. If you have shishim in the pot, kinege the entire spoon, what's halacha of the food? Kosher. right? Because it's bottle b'shishim. What's therefore the halach of the pot going to be? Also kosher. Because the food inside the pot was mevatlet b'shishim. And therefore the tam of milchigs that went into this food now and into the pot is all bottle b'shishim. What's the halach of the spoon? Kashering. No, spoon strafe. Because a spoon has milchigs ben yoimai in it, yeah? And now it's gotten fleishik tam into it also. The spoon is treif, and the spoon needs kashering. Okay? Kashering is not going to be today's discussion, so we're not going to discuss what kind of spoon, how kind of spoon. Kasher the spoon in general, usually the spoon is made out of metal, so you just have to do hagol on it. You've got to make sure that where it comes together, you've cleaned it very well. In general, that's what you'll have to do, hagol, and you'll be fine. I'm sorry? No, in this case there won't be a difference. Yes, Basar Oif is Basar Oif with Cholav is Dirabonon, but in this case there won't be any differences. That would be the halacha. Okay? However, pardon? Shishim will be negative the whole spoon. Shishim will be negative the amount of the spoon went in, but the question becomes, and this part of the question that needs to be asked, and it's even discussed in halacha, is a person neman to say he knows exactly up to which point the spoon went into it? So if you're cooking something very shallow, it's very easy to tell, I only have so much of the spoon that went into it. But if I have a big pot of soup, are you really going to be able to tell me up to which point in that spoon you've put your spoon into it? A third, half, the whole thing? So there's a whole question of a person that even has an emunah to say, Bari Li, I'm sure I only put in so much of the spoon. How do you know? You're mixing it, right? When you mix it, what happens usually? Things rise up also. So that I said, even if I put it in only half, once I start mixing it, the whole thing starts moving, the whole thing's in motion, everything starts changing around. So it's very, very difficult to turn around. So we will in general say, definitely kenega the entire circular part of the spoon, and maybe depending on how far up you went in, depending on, you know, at that. In general, to have shishim kenega the spoon is not, you don't need that much to need shishim kenega the spoon. Okay? It doesn't need a 10-liter pot of soup to have shishim kenega the spoon. A spoon is quite small. In general, you probably will have shishim kenega the spoon unless you have a small pot.
Wooden spoon?
Wood is still, wood is the same. Wood is bailea and wood is pilot, so you'll have the same issues. And so you'll have to, if it's ben yoyma, so then you'll have the problems. If it's not, yeah? If it's not ben yoyma, now, let's say the spoon was used in a milchige pot and was cleaned, but it's for the last 24 hours has not been used with anything that is hot milchigs. Even if it's been used for whatever you might want on your regular plates, but it's not been put into an actual pot with milchiks. At that point we say the spoon becomes einay ben yoimai. Then once the spoon is einay ben yoimai, the milchiks inside the spoon becomes bottle basically. Therefore, if I were to take such a spoon and I put it into my fleshier pot, do I need shishim? No. I don't even need shishim. Because really the spoon lahalacha, it's not milchik anymore. Okay? It's not considered milchik anymore. And therefore, you would still need to kasher the spoons. Like we said before, you said that the spoon would now become fleishiks. Hypothetically speaking, that's correct. At this point, the spoon is fleishiks. So much so, that if you were to take that spoon now and to put it into something hot milchiks, it would treif at the hot milchiks. Because the spoon is fleishik. Yeah? However, the ma'isa, we're knowing that even though, you're right, in strict halacha, if you have a spoon that's not been yoimoy, and it now gets blias from the other type, so if it was milchiks, but it's not ben yoimoy anymore of the milchiks, and now you use it for fleishiks, in halacha, in strict halacha, you could say that spoon is fleishiks now. We don't want to start playing games like that, because if you start playing games like that, you'll end up seeing a tray for kitchen very, very soon. You'll tray for things left, right, and center. Oh, do I remember? Was it 24 hours? Was it not 24 hours? You're making some sugar. So therefore, what you need to do is, you need to kasher that spoon, even the spoon was not ben yoimai, the food and the pot are not an issue. If the spoon is a bigger spoon and the pot's a smaller pot, and the spoon was ben yoimai, then we might have an issue. Because if the food does not have shishim kenegin the spoon, and the spoon was ben yoimai, we're going to say now about the food that it becomes treif, the spoon becomes treif, the pot becomes treif. Okay? That is the first shaila that we're going to deal with. Moving on now from that shaila. Okay? The next twist we can give to that shaila is what happens if the food that you're cooking has onions in it. Will the onions make any difference, or will they not make any difference? Okay? So, let's go through slowly. Halacha is as follows. In halacha, there is a concept of something called dava charif. Dava charif means something that has a strong taste. A pungent taste. What? I think foul or pungent taste is, I don't know if it's strong. I'd say strong over the other two words. And this strong taste that it has the ability to take things that are not binyoymoy and to flavor them up in order to make them into binyoymoy. So let's give a simple example, right? You have a knife which is not binyoymoy and is clean. Because when it comes to cutting onions with a knife, there are really two things we need to be worried about. Number one, was your knife clean? Okay? So let's say you have a kitchen knife and you're cooking in the kitchen, you're making all sorts of things, and your wife's making different, she's made chicken, and she made this, she made that, and now she's cutting an onion. If she hasn't really wiped down the knife from the fleshiks that she's made before, there's actually mamoshes, there's actually real, tangible fleshiks on your knife. Okay? Besides real, tangible fleshiks on the knife, you could also have a knife that is clean, that has taste, that has bleus of fleshiks. To have bleus of fleshiks is a little bit more complicated again, because in the end of the day, the food needs to have been very, very hot, and you need to have taken the knife and stuck it into something that was either in a kli rishon, or in a dava gush. If we have a big slab of meat, let's say you've just cooked a big salt beef, and it's been sitting in this water and it's really, really hot, and you take it out of the water and you still have a piping hot bit of salt beef, and you start slicing it with that knife, that would also make your knife fleshik. Okay? Now, you have a fleshik knife. If you take that knife that's fleshik and you start cutting, now, onions with that knife, regardless of whether the knife is binyoymoy or the knife is not binyoymoy, the onion's strong taste is going to take the bleus that are inside the knife, together with what's called duch kidusakina, the pressure of the knife, and it's going to make the onion into an item that is sort of fleshik. I won't call it fleshik, but it's sort of fleshik. The reason I'm saying that is because, let's say now, for whatever reason, you would like to eat that onion. I don't know, I remember in Eretz Yisrael, we used to go to a falafel shop. There was a falafel shop right outside the Mir. It was called Miro's Falafel. I don't think the Miro had anything to do with the fact that it had to do with the Mir Yeshiva, but it was Miro's Falafel right around the corner. And there, you could get different things, and one of the things that you could get, they used to put on the table, it was one of these, like, you know, holes in the wall, and they used to put on the table in a very simple dish, you would get some pickles, some olives, and an onion. And you'd see people sitting there, you know, peeling bits off the onion and eating the onion straight, eating the onion raw. Okay, now we might turn around and say here in England that's not something we would run to be doing. But in Eretz Yisrael, I remember people were eating this onion just slice by slice. We call it that. If you eat that onion, you've sliced the onion now with a fleshik knife, and now you're going to go ahead and you're going to eat the onion. Will the onion make you fleshik? No. Okay, la halacha won't make you. There are places in the hole that makes you fleshik. The mice, I think halacha, the mice, we pass on that. It doesn't make you fleshik. However, the onion is now considered fleshik for the purposes of having taste of fleshiks in it, which will make the difference if you are now to put this onion into a milchik pot or a milchik pan by accident, you could end up chafing up your pan. Because it's fleshik taste in the onion, the pan is milchik, you've now chafed up your pan. Okay? So now, your question, that's when it comes to dava charif.
This knife, how far are you
going to
go?
We say Einam and Yoyma, so it doesn't really matter. My guess is after 12 months, maybe there might be a tzad to be maker, because there's another tzad that's after 12 months, it's mamish pogum, pogum and ganzen. But I've never heard that tzad, but I could hear such a tzad, because there's a shayla b'chlal, if an onion is considered dava charif, because there are certain pais can hold on the kerchel. Chiltus is pogum. You'll have a few starting to put together, that you might be able to use that as a kula. Okay, yeah.
It makes a difference.
What do you mean?
It
will make a difference how the knife itself got the original blius. That's what's important. So if the knife just cut something cold, let's say I took the knife and I had a piece of cold salt beef. I've waited it for it to cool off now, and now I'm going to slice it. Because we all know that if you want, I mean, you'll ask Aaron, he'll be able to tell you properly exactly how it works. But, you know, if you want to slice meat, you got to wait for it to go cold. Otherwise, it's going to start breckling on you, right? The only thing that they don't do like that is you get the, you know, the fresh salt beef that they cook for you. How do they make sure that doesn't breckle? Or does it breckle, Taka, when you cut it? How does that work? I'm not sure. But normally when you cut... Pardon? You're always supposed to cut against the grain. You always cut against the grain. Now, that's the way to slice meat. You don't sometimes and sometimes not. You always slice against the grain. But, in the kitchen, the klal is you wait for the meat to cool down. If your wife's making meat for Shabbos, she's going to cook the meat, wait for the meat to cool down, only then slice it, because otherwise it's going to fall apart when she slices it when it's hot, and then she'll reheat it in a sliced form. So if you've waited now for your roast to cool down, your wife waited to cool down, it's not cold, now you're slicing that. That knife has not become fleshix. Has not become fleshix. What you need to make sure, though, is you need to make sure that once you've sliced it, if you've not cleaned the surface of the knife, you still have fleshix on the actual surface. But if you've cleaned the surface, there's no fleshix on the surface. The original knife never had fleshix taste in it, and therefore it wouldn't affect the food. It wouldn't affect the onion. It would not affect the onion, which would therefore not affect everything else. Okay? I'm sorry? If you had cooking onions with roasted meat, then the onions will for sure become fleshix. Pardon? The knife afterwards. Yeah, because the onions don't give time into the onions don't give time into the knife. It only works the other way around. The onions won't get time into the knife, only the knife into the onions. So now.
So you say that the knife now is no, it doesn't become a benyoma itself.
If in which case?
The knife was a week old. There was nothing to be clean, so it was a fleshix knife.
What made it fleshix? Well, have you used it for hot fleshix and a clear rishon? Okay. Yes. 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 No, no. The knife doesn't come benyoma from cutting that. Only the taste that goes into the onion becomes, the taste that now gone into the onion becomes benyoma, and it's a problematic taste. There's one other thing that you need to take into account when you speak about onions, and that is that onions only have the strong taste for a certain amount of time. Okay? And therefore in the poskim it says, let's say you were frying onions. So if you take onions, if you've just cut an onion and you take a piece of onion and you eat it, you'll see it's very, very, it's got a sharp taste. However, take these onions, fry them, brown them, fry them for 5-10 minutes in a frying pan, and then taste the onions. What do they taste?
Sweet.
Sweet. Yeah? Fried onions are sweet. And therefore, onions are charif, but only so long as they've not been cooked for long enough to get rid of that taste. Once they've been cooked for a certain amount of time, that strong taste has come out of them, and they cease to be considered charif. Okay? So therefore, if the food has onions in it, it might make a difference, but it's going to be very, very rare that it's going to make a difference. Meaning to say, if the food had onions in it, let's say you had onions that you cut and you put into a fleshig pan. Okay, the pan is fleshig ben yoimoy, the onions are therefore fleshig now. And now you've taken a milchig spoon, even if the spoon is not ben yoimoy, and you start mixing around the onions, the taste that comes from the milky knife, even though it's not ben yoimoy, comes into the onions freshen up that taste and make it real milky. They've been cut with a fleshig knife or been put into fleshig pot, therefore the onions are now fleshig and milchig at the same time. The onions will become treif, they'll treif up your pot, they'll treif up your milky, and then if the milky spoon remains in, then they'll treif up your milky spoon, everything's going to have to be kashered. Okay? However, in most cases, even if you're going to put onion into, unless you're frying the onion, and you're stirring the onion very early on into your stir, into whatever you're making, into the addition you're making, the onion, by the time it's going to be stirred in many, many occasions, is already not charif. Once the onion's not charif, then it turns into any other kind of food. Then we're back to having the first shaila, which we said, that if the onion is not charif, then if it's ben yoimoy spoon, it'll be problematic. If it's not a ben yoimoy spoon, it will not be problematic. We won't give it that halacha of Dovah Harif. I'm sorry? Lemon is a shayla. So some say lemon yes, some say lemon no. We will consider it charif, but if we can mitzaref lemon with a few other things, then you can get out of it. Because there's a peres chamutzim, sour apples, lemons, things like that. There are shaylas whether or not they're considered charif, so there are maybe ways to get out of it. If you ask a shayla, that's why what I'm giving now is only basic guidelines. Every shayla should still be asked, because sometimes there'll be other tzadim that the rav can be mitzaref to go ahead and to be matter the food anyway. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so then, as we said, if you use a milky knife to cut a lemon, even we said then the lemon's not become milchik, and so therefore it wouldn't be an issue. Is it better to use a fleshik knife? Probably better to use a fleshik knife just to make sure that, you know, if it's totally clean and there's no mamoshes or anything on it. But in general, the lemon won't become milchik, and since it's only got tam of milchik inside, but not really milchik, and you're not drinking this lemon, you're not taking this lemon now, squeezing it out over a schnitzel or something, or, you know, you're just drinking it in a tea, that you'll be okay. Right. Let's move on to the next shayla. I see we're definitely not going to make it to the end of this session.
Why would you do that with an onion now? You cut up the onion. Yes.
Yes.
What was that bowl?
No, the bowl stays parif. That's not going to go from the onion into the bowl. It's only once you then take that onion now and start cooking with it, then once you start cooking, the tam is going to go from the onion into something else. But until you start cooking, the tam is not going to move from the onion into anything else. There are days, actually, that say if you have a milky chopping board and you put an onion on it and you're cutting it with a meaty knife, so then that the onion will make, the knife will make the onion meaty and it will make a problem for the chopping board. I don't think we're passing like that, halacha l'maisa. Okay. Next question. Question as follows. You've just cooked pasta. This happens many times. You've cooked pasta in a milky pot, but you haven't put any cheese in it. You have a milky pot, you've cooked it, and you've not put any cheese in it. And now, you've decided after you've made it, you said, hey, wait one second. I don't want to have this pasta with milchiks. I just remember that we have some meatballs left in the fridge. Bigishmak, I'll heat up the meatballs, I'll put the pasta in the meatballs, we'll have spaghetti and meatballs, it'll be fantastic. Why shouldn't I do that? Can I now add this pasta that was cooked in a milchik pot only, not with milchiks, but only a milchik pot, can I add it to eat with fleshiks? And
what is the pot?
Slowly. Okay, we'll have to work our way through it. Okay, and the other question will be: even if you tell me that I'm not allowed to, what happens if something happened accidentally? If accidentally, you know, suddenly you turn around and your wife says, "Here, I've served you. I saw you made some pasta. It's very nice of you. I've put on some meatballs for you." Like, oh, I made the pasta in a milchik pot. Yeah. So now we have to see what the halacha is. So let's start with the following. The following is the concept. I think we're only going to have time really for the concept. We're not even going to be able to get to the end of the shayla. This comes up, lest you think this doesn't come up so often, it'll come up almost any time you go to a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and they'll tell you, our chips are milky. If you go to a pizza shop, most pizza shops will tell you, the chips are milky. Or they tell you something like, either chips are milky, the chips are fleshik. That's usually what will happen. You go to these shops, they will tell you, treat all the food that you buy by us as milchik. Yeah? Is it really milchik or not? You bought chips in a pizza shop and you came home and you want to now eat those chips together with something fleshik. Are the chips milchik? Are they really milchik? Are they not milchik? I'll make one point maybe. This is kedai to know this because you need to really ask the question of the restaurant. I've been to restaurants in Eretz Yisrael, I've been to restaurants here, where in the same deep fryer that they cook the chips, they cook schnitzel. So when the fellow has to make schnitzel, what he does, he takes out the piece of top, breads it, egg, flour, whatever else you're going to put in, however you're going to make your schnitzel, and then he takes the entire thing and throws it into the deep fryer. When he's thrown that schnitzel into the deep fryer, now what's he done with all the oil? The oil is real fleishiks now. It's not a shayla fleishiks. It's not a question of like, it's a fleishika restaurant, so let's consider the oil fleishiks. You have real fleishika oil now. And if you have real fleishika oil now, any chips that will be cooked afterwards in that oil become fleishik. But how real fleishik? Yeah? There's not a question of binyoyma or not binyoyma. This is real fleishiks. Okay? It's not only tam, it's real fleshic oil. Again, you have to also realize sometimes you'll maybe be able to get out of it if you say these deep fryers, I don't know how deep they are. So, you know, this is something you can ask Aaron again. You know, somebody who knows about kitchens properly. Aaron, are they very deep?
And the fryer usually have a para fryer. Don't put anything.
Now, I'm not blaming you. I'm not pointing fingers over here. But would you have shishim? Would you have, for example, 60 times oil connected a schnitzel that's inside a Yeah, you're saying you'll never know. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, but look, but that's the kind of question you need to ask. You need to ask the proprietor of the restaurant, do you actually use real fleishik in this oil? Because if you do, then it's not a question of not by not, which we'll have to discuss a different time, but it's going to become a question of real fleishik, because now you have fleishik oil. You cook chips in fleishik oil, they're fleishik. There's no question about it. It's like eating a potato out of the cholent. If you eat a potato out of the cholent, the potato from the cholent is fleishik. Yeah? That everybody will agree. Pardon?
That oil is no good for anything anymore.
Why?
You have to throw it away.
Why do you have to throw it away? It's fleishik. No. I'm saying it's a fleishik restaurant. No, it's not milchik. No. I'm talking about the restaurant only. The restaurant's not made any mistakes. The restaurant is a fleishiger restaurant, and they put schnitzel inside. You just want to know afterwards, if you take those chips home, how fleishig is the chip? Is it really fleishig? Is only becheskat besari? How will I consider this one?
People ask.
Yeah?
They ask if
so that's what you'd have to do. You need to ask. If you want to know, the first thing you need to know is if you want to buy items from a shop and they're saying it's milky, all the items in the shop are milky, you have to ask the question, why are they milky? Are they being used with real milk? Are we just assuming that they're milky and making them milky l'chumra? That's one of the first questions you need to ask. The many, many other questions you need to ask, but we've run out of time. Thank you very much. Amen.